As I said this morning, we just want to give opportunity for feedback, hope, testimonies, and any insights, just really with regards to some of the area of spiritual warfare that we've been covering. And I'll say if we're limited on that, then we could be a shorter meeting. But so I'm just really going to open the floor. I know that one or two from the groups have had nominated people, so there is no pecking order. So if you're from one of the Connect groups and you're the person who's been asked to say something or you volunteered, now's the opportunity to come and share. So I don't know who wants to go first, who's brave enough to go first. If not, I'll call upon someone. John Rawlings, well done, mate. Do you want to go second? Brilliant. Well done, John.
Thanks, Graham. Morning, all. So, Phil kindly asked me if I'd share something this morning. And obviously, naturally, I said, fantastic, Phil. Yeah, I'd love to. I can't get... haven't had enough public speaking recently. That was sarcastic, Vincent, so please don't ask me. Yeah, you know, I'm ashamed to say I didn't necessarily jump at the chance initially and kind of naturally said, no, I don't fancy that, not at all. But I was reminded, you know, within one of the preachers how, you know, the devil likes to keep us quiet, you know, and that's not just outside the church with others, but it's also internally within in the church, talking to others, you know, about difficulties we're having or about struggles. And we like to just put a brave face on it and move on. Went back to Phil. Okay, I'll come up and share today. So what I wanted to just really sort of share is around kind of the trials and testing preach. And sort of last few weeks I've gone through. So I've had a testimony really about my job for the last few years where God has really moved in everything I've done, sort of work-wise, has really blessed us as a family. It really blessed me in the roles I've kind of undertaken at work. Often, I never actually went for a job, or they've always been offered to me, which is a bit outstanding. There's no guarantee to say, you know, Monday morning might all change and I might be put through the other tests and everything could fall apart. But God's always been with me, you know, throughout. Some of those roles have been sort of a huge step for me. I lack self-confidence quite significantly. Some things have been quite a jump, but God's always seen me through that and seen me right. So I've had an opportunity recently, which I shared with Phil and Amy, around quite a significant role change again. It was kind of a multi-million pound project they wanted me to sort of get involved in. Wasn't sure. I haven't said yes to every opportunity I've had, so I wasn't sure, and I wanted to obviously make sure this is, you know, God's will. It wasn't just a, you know, self-seeking job that I could, you know, jump on and make my millions. Not that I ever have, but I just wanted to make sure it was God's will, you know. I like to think, you know, I'll say to you that there was a kind of definite outcome to that. And, you know, I looked up at the stars and God, you know, wrote something in the sky. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I came out of that and I did make a decision. I believe I made the right decision, hopefully. But I believe that God, you know, whether I chose path A or path B in this situation, he'll use me regardless. But what I really got out of it, I wanted to sort of share, was it was really the process that he took me through. So, you know, he forced me, you know, let me rephrase that. There was more prayer, there was more scripture, there was more seeking. I came closer to him, and through that, you know, by that test and by that trial, you know, he's taken me through that. And as I say, that's what he wants. He doesn't really matter if I choose plan A or plan B, you know, in this scenario. He just wants me to be closer to him.
Well done, John. Thank you. Good man. Richard?
Good morning, everyone. Excuse me, my throat's a bit gargly today. I think, Fiona, sorry, I'm going to also start with a football analogy. On Monday, Axel and I went to see Middlesbrough play Norwich at Wembley, sadly not quite as successfully as Arsenal yesterday. And we also, we were on the tube going up to Wembley. Axel had his Middlesbrough scarf on. And we'd gone to visit the British Museum beforehand, so we'd come on a few stops before all the other fans joined the tube. And suddenly a whole group of Norwich fans joined the tube carriage. There were a few other Middlesbrough fans, but we were quite outnumbered. And yeah, again, it did feel like an onslaught from the enemy. They were very verbal, lots of shouting, and not too intimidating, but a little bit nervous, especially with Axel sat next to me with his Middlesbrough scarf on. But it made me think, the enemy isn't always dressed in yellow and obvious to us. Sometimes he's in the background. He doesn't often make himself as clearly known. And sometimes he can trick us without us actually knowing we've been tricked. And I think something I found as a young Christian was actually knowing when the devil was tricking me. Because coming from a non-Christian background, a worldly environment, sometimes you don't know. You think that's just the way of the world, that's the way how things are. And I think what's helped me a lot has been reading the Bible. That, as we've discussed the last few weeks, that is our armour. That does give us the knowledge how to conduct our lives. It can show us when we are being tempted. Because I think a lot in my previous life as a non-Christian, I did go through a lot of temptation, a lot of sin, without necessarily thinking that I was sinning, that I was being tempted. But having become a Christian, the more I read in the Bible, the stronger my armour becomes, and the more knowledge I get of how I should be leading my life as a Christian. So I think that helps a lot. And during this whole series, I think Gary's talk was perhaps the most impacting on me. Because just to hear Gary, someone like Gary, who I hold up as an exceptional Christian, he's done many fantastic things. And to hear someone like Gary talking about their weaknesses, about their temptations, that really impacted on me. I think one of my problems is I like to compare myself to other people. So I see people and I think, how could I ever become a Christian like Gary, for example? But hearing that Gary also goes through struggles makes me think, well, hang on, stop putting yourself down. The devil's trying to niggle you. You could be just as good as anyone else. Everyone else goes through their trials, tribulations. Just put on the armour, stop putting yourself down and get on with it. And you too can be a strong Christian. So I think it's really not always been enjoyable the last few preaches. A few moments of squirming. I think especially where Gary said, imagine if all your thoughts suddenly came up on that big screen. Yeah, pretty scary stuff. So I've been very... yeah, thought-provoking, challenging, but I'm very, very glad that we've, as a church, we've been through it together. And I think, yeah, had a big impact. Thank you.
I think that's very true, isn't it? The enemy can be very subtle in the way, and I think one of the things that he does do and compounds is when we have a low self-esteem, or we think others are better than ourselves and they don't have those struggles. We all have our struggles. And I think it's quite good, isn't it, sometimes when people stand here and make themselves vulnerable and actually saying, I'm not everything you think I am, because I also struggle in those areas as well. So I think sometimes being vulnerable about our weaknesses can actually be a strengthening thing, because it helps us who perhaps are struggling with some of those same things as well. So... another group? If not, I'll ask Nigel Lewis, because I know he's got something from our group.
Thank you. Stand. Stand. I was impacted by standing. So when we dance, Christine and I, when we dance, I have this habit, inclination, natural tendency, whatever you want to call it, to slightly slouch and start to just move over. And do you know what this does? It does a couple of things. One, it looks a little ugly when you're dancing, particularly if you're doing a spin and you're slouching, you lose your balance. You know, the worst thing that it does is it takes my dance partner down with me. Because if I'm slouching, where's she going to go? How can she stand as well? So when we stand to stand together. We stand to help one another. And we stand not to look defeated. So do you know, if we stand properly, and I ask you sometimes to do this, you stand against the wall. Now you've got your dance position. Oh, we can do the arms if you want. But and then you're stand up. Not through your shoulders, that's the other habit that can happen. Anybody that's watched Strictly will know that the shoulders move up. All that does is your head goes down and sinks in. You'll raise up through your head, and I can tell you I'm standing about an inch taller than I was when I was down there a little while ago. So you, next time you feel perhaps a little defeated and a little, defeated maybe, when the war's getting to you, I ask you to stand tall and stand firm. It takes me to one of the verses. You know, I've got a I hope we've probably all got a safety deposit box. And in that safety deposit box, we've got those verses and those prophecies, those words that we've had, those circumstances, those miracles, because they're too precious to lose. They're going to keep us straight. They're going to keep us in faith. And this one is Leviticus 26. Verses 12 and 13. This is God speaking. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. We need to stand tall, up through the core. Not because of what we've done. You know, if we're going to stand based on who we are and what we are, we would be on all fours. We would be crawling along. But we stand tall because of what he has done. He has enabled us to fight this war because of what he has done. And to me, that means I can stand tall.
Obviously, the words that Nigel was referring to were from last week when John was sharing from the book of Ephesians about standing firm. So, yeah, next one. Thank you. Our resident midwife.
No, you'll do well. when Phil said, some of you have discounted yourself, and Francois asked anyone in our group, and there wasn't many of us, it was just me and her. So, and Francois away, so it's down to me. So I come in trepidation, so be kind to me. So I'm Alison, for those who don't know me, and I'm going to talk about fear. God has been taking me on a journey to deal with fear for some time, as I've lived with it with quite a long time through my life. I think I inherited it in my mother's womb, but that's another story. I'll just tell you a few little stories. Our eldest son went to university last October to Loughborough, which was a big step in us letting him go, which wasn't easy, as many of you will know. It seemed to be the hardest thing in parenting so far. We prayed with him before he went to take every opportunity and to have a great time. And in between seeing him, I would count down the days, the hours, praying for protection for him as we were no longer there to care for him, which seemed really hard to me. We went to visit him in the October half term and he announced he had signed up on a trip to go to the Arctic. So I thought I was doing quite well with letting him go to a small market town in Loughborough, but now the Arctic was a big scary place with polar bears, and I just had that image of the guy, the student that went to a private school, and he was hooked out of a tent with a polar bear, so that was in my mind. But so penguins were all right in the Antarctic, but polar bears in the Arctic were scary. So it was going to be severe conditions, minus 45, but we just had to trust him that this was in God's plan. So we kept committing him to God's way and trying to allay my fears about it. So he went and he came back and he had a good time and no polar bears he saw, so that was good. But so there were real fears and perceived fears, but many of our fears do not come true and are a waste of our time worrying over them. But I want to live differently, not a slave to my fears. So at any opportunity, I would be prayed for to deal with this fear, as it becomes quite crippling and exhausting, and it just becomes round and round in your mind, and it's just not good, is it? So Bob prayed for me a few weeks ago and put me in an eagle position to soar like an eagle and to get rid of fear. So that has been really helpful. So at every opportunity, I've had prayer for this fear. So I do feel like I'm living the journey and getting rid of some of it, as he wants us to live in freedom and not a slave to fear, as we've learnt from the Satan talks. The enemy comes in to steal, kill and destroy, and he was taking my joy from living in the moment and was worrying about what could happen. And some things do happen, some things don't happen, but he robs us of that joy. For those that don't know, I'm a community midwife, which involves being on call in the night. And we're now called to a larger geographical area than ever before. So that brings a lot of fear, as we don't know what we're going to be called to. And it's people's lives, and it's a baby's life and mum's life. And that, so I can pick up fear at any point with that. But God's been teaching me it's his responsibility. And I pray when I go out, and that seems to help, and it's helping me with my fear. I've got aging parents, as lots of people do, and always waiting for the emergency call, as we've had a few. This invokes fear too, but letting go of the things I cannot control is freeing. And yesterday and Friday I had the responsibility of wedding flowers and was up till 3 on Saturday morning doing them for a friend's son I delivered 22 years ago. And my dad had an operation on the same day on his hand, so I was split which way to go, and I always do the nursey things with my parents with the appointments, being the nurse. But I had to let go and let my sister take him, which was quite hard because I wouldn't know what would happen. But as it turned out, you know, I prayed and it was fine, and my sister dealt with it, and it was all good. But God wants us to give everything to him, even the, you know, the dark places of our lives, as when everything is in the light, the enemy has no hold of us. So even those dark, niggly bits. Another incident was I got a hotline to Graham with we've had quite a few deaths within our team as midwives, and so I've got a hotline to, as Graham does an excellent funeral, as many of you know. I was called a few weeks ago by the police and ambulance men to a colleague. I thought it was to a birth, but it was a colleague had suddenly lost her husband coming from work and found him passed away. And she called me. She didn't have any family nearby, so it was another reason for a few days and a few weeks, as we've had quite a few midwives and husbands die recently. So that's another reason to pick up fear. But dealing with that and giving it to God really helps. As the word says, he has not given us a spirit of fear. And perfect love drives out fear. So there's no fear in love, but perfect life drives out fear. So I rebuke fear. I'm an overcomer. He is my shield. We expose Satan as a liar. Fear is a lie. I am mighty. I'm a conqueror and an overcomer. So in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So I'm on that journey of, but I feel I'm getting through there. But there are many layers to it as an onion. And parenting's not easy, as lots of you know. So I'd be happy to, if anyone has touched, if it's touched anyone about fear, to pray with people afterwards, if that's good. Okay, thank you.
Is it okay? Yeah, thanks, Alison. Thank you for your honesty. Probably you think Alison's a real confident person, but isn't it good just to pull back the layers and just to see what's going on inside? And fear is a real thing. It can cripple some of us. And I think, as Alison said, if you're struggling with something this morning, and you may think it's a bit pathetic, but actually it's real. And it's good that we can pray and support one another in that. Any other person from a group nominated? Yeah, Norman? You're not in a group. How can you come?
Yeah, I'm out.
I'll take a vote on it.
A few of us did have a little chat afterwards, although I'm not officially in a group, but I was just sort of sitting there burning, listening to that. And I want to talk about this little conversation we had. But first, a football story. Okay. Many years ago, I took my son to see Arsenal at the Emirates, and they played Middlesbrough. And it was an atrocious match. Arsenal struggled for a 1-1 draw. Coming home, the first thing we did was catch a bus. It was very busy with football fans. And I remember saying to my son, he was very young, would you like to live in London? And he said, no. And I said, why not? He said, they all swear too much. I thought, isn't that interesting from a tiny one? And then we got on the train, the old train going out Charing Cross, coming back. And while we were travelling back, it was full of Arsenal fans. And they didn't do themselves any favours. They didn't do that. I was sitting there with my son, and all I could hear was guys talking loud, sexually, filthy language, filthy talk, gutter. And I sat there. I had my son with me. In the end, I could take it no more, and I stood up, and I was mad. And I got in those guys' faces, and my son went, I used to have a daddy, now he's dead. He was full of fear. And I said, guys, we're all on the same team here, but listen, I got my son with me. I don't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear it. Now, are you going to shut up, or are we going to move to another carriage? Anyway, who wants to see the scars? What they did is, they looked at me and they said, do you know what, we're ever so sorry, we weren't thinking. We're quieting down. There was no need for fear. Fear is here. Now, there is a temptation, and remember we talked a lot about temptation. There is a temptation that comes upon us frequently and often. It can be very subtle, it can be very, very strong. But I promise you, it is the easiest temptation you will ever have to suppress and do away with. And the temptation that will come on you frequently and often is the temptation to stand and speak for Jesus. But you can suppress it and push it to one side with great ease. And my great awareness is in the times we're living in, we need to sometimes think of the big picture. In our nation, in our town, in our world, the times are coming where we're going to be called to stand and speak for Jesus. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
I love Jesus. But you believe this, you believe that. You don't like this and you don't like this, and it will come against you and come against you. And the temptation is, do I stand or do I flee? So it's just a heads up really in my spirit to say, you know, God will give us the strength to stand, just like you were saying there, Addison, and what's coming through is we do have the strength to stand, and we will be called on to have that strength time and time again. But it is there, and fear, as though somebody said, all my tigers were paper tigers. I remember that in the context of fear. So fear, don't worry, you got Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Graham.
Right. It's time for perhaps one more from any of the group. If not, I'll share something. So. Yeah, Tim?
It's a lovely picture up there this morning of the crosses. And in all of humanity, where would we be without the cross? And we have this in our house by the fireplace. And when I see it, I realise there's a reset button. Because without this, we are lost. And when Satan comes to tempt, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your whole being. And then another voice comes along. Why worship him when you could worship some of these other things? Come and worship work. Come and be somebody. Come and earn lots of money. Come and do this. Come and do that. But we need to listen to the strongest voice, which is God's voice. Come and worship me. And the temptation is always to do something else. But this is the reset button. Without this, humanity is lost. When Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, which meant we had access to God. No longer was he kept in the little cupboard where we couldn't get anywhere near him. Now he was in amongst humanity. And that, to me, speaks everything. So when the devil comes along and says, you're hopeless, you're useless, I say, yeah, fine. But it's not about me, it's about this. This centres it all up.
Thanks, Tim. I hope we agree with that.
Yeah. This really is super quick. When Gary spoke and he was talking about ways in which the enemy tempts you and uses your mind to say stuff, I very arrogantly thought, well, I don't think I ever get tempted in that way. I can't think of times when I put myself down knowingly in my head or, you know, the kinds of things Gary was talking about. Anyway, the whole of the next week, I came under this unbelievable attack of self-pity, which I guess probably looking at it, I may have had before, but I was much more aware of the self-pity because of what Gary had spoken about, and I did absolutely nothing to fight it. You know how previously it would have happened and I wouldn't have known I could have fought it. This time, the self-pity came, I knew it was there, I knew it was an attack of the enemy, and I absolutely dwelt in it and allowed it just to keep coming and coming in waves against me. And then this whole thing about standing and scripture and how important it is for fighting just really spoke to me. And my boss at work just drew me into her office and said, I've got a verse for you. And it was about how the Lord himself will be your husband. And it was like everything that I'd been feeling self-pity about, the Lord just wiped away in the space of this one scripture verse for me to stand on, that the Lord himself would be my husband. And I'm going to stand on that.
Okay, fantastic. Father, just say thank you that Tim lifted up the cross, Father, and reminded us, Father, that's what it centres around. Father, we say thank you for the cross of Calvary this morning. Father, we say thank you, Father, for that significant event in history which has given us our eternal hope this morning. Father, we say thank you this morning that we can embrace the cross. Father, not in fear, not in condemnation, but Father, it's a cross of love. Father, it's a cross of forgiveness. It's a cross of mercy. It's a cross
of grace. And Father, we say thank you this morning that so many of us have experienced, Father, the overwhelming effects of what Christ has done for us. Father, we say thank you this morning for those who have shared, Father, just in the normal realities of life. But Father, as we go through them, Lord, they are so real. And Father, for those of us this morning that might be just be struggling with things, we pray, Father, that you would just come. And Father, if just people just need to be ministered to this morning, Father, give them the courage to come and ask. Father, you know how the enemy would even now bind them up with fear and limit what you want to do. So, Father, would you just make this a safe place this morning as we just come and as we draw to a close, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.